Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so grateful for what God is doing through this worldwide ministry and platform. It is truly growing, and I just give God the glory and honor and praise for it. It is marvelous in our eyes. So on tonight, our guest for tonight is none other than the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church. Deacon Edward Blakely will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. Pastor Isaiah Timmons Jr. is the pastor and shepherd of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where I serve as the musician. So we're asking all listeners, as we always do, and especially for the new listeners, because this worldwide platform is growing. I just checked it earlier before we came live on the air, and we have so many new listeners. So I just give God the glory for it. So you're going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper, so that you can follow along with Deacon Edward Blakely as he brings forth God's word on tonight. We don't want you to take it lightly or for granted. We don't want anyone to ever think that we're making up God's word or making up things as we go. We want you to be able to read it for yourself, what thus saith the Lord. So we always open it with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, for such a time as this, we are living in the last and evil days. Can't you see the signs? It is truly praying time. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me, because we do serve an awesome God who can not only hear, but he can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come on tonight once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you that you have allowed us to wake up and see it. We thank you for every angel that you have encamped around your people all through the day and all through the night that watches over us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus still works and it would never lose its power. You think that you are in total control at all times. You sit high and you look low. We bless your name on tonight because you are truly worthy to be praised because there is none like you in all the earth. You are the great I am, the most high God. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus thanking you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Edward Blakely and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that we can move forward and fulfill our God purposes in the earth, that you would get the glory through each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers in Jesus' name. We come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, Heavenly Father. We know that you are still healing. You're still working miracles, signs, and wonders for your glory. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We especially lift up the Queen Elizabeth and her entire family and the loss of her husband, Prince Philip. The funeral lives came on today. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen her and her entire family, and not her and just her and her family, but all those that have lost loved ones for whatever reason, even those that have lost loved ones due to the mass shootings that has occurred in the last few weeks. Comfort and strengthen them. Even those that have lost loved ones due to the COVID virus that are still losing loved ones, comfort and strengthen as only you can in the name of Jesus. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. And Father, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that your word go forth on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Edward Blakely, as he's being led by you and through your Holy Spirit, that should there be any listeners on the line on tonight or listening, however, over the social media worldwide platform on tonight, that are spiritually blind, that their eyes will become open as they hear your word. They will open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions. They will ask Jesus Christ with their own mouth to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on that so that you may increase in us, because we know it's all about you. It's not about us. We just thank you for the opportunity to be able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide social media that you have blessed us to be the overseer of, that you will get the glory. Continue to bless and strengthen my bishop and shepherd, Pastor Bishop James A. Jennings, and my church family, the Greater Shield of Faith church family, Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr., and the First Lady Tillman, Jean Tillman, and the Morning Star Baptist Church family, and all of those, Heavenly Father, that are standing on your word, that are truly teaching and preaching your word and being faithful doers of your word all over the land. Continue to use each one of us for your glory, that you would get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide platform, and even the new listeners on tonight. Bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we always have a spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us simply saying, and this goes for me as well, it don't matter if you have been saved and serving the Lord 50 years or 65 years or just one day, the spiritual food for thought comes to each one of us saying on tonight, trust and obey God. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, trust and obey God. In the form of announcements, I hope you have your pens and paper so you can take down some notes. Every night, 7 nights a week, we thank God for Minister Tawan Eppinger. He is also a member of the Morning Star Baptist Church, a young minister of the gospel of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor. He have a prayer line that goes forth every night starting at 9 o'clock p.m. So if you want to dial in and be prayed for, if you want to stand in the gap and pray for someone, this is his prayer line number that you need to dial. It's area code 602-610-2081. Once again, the minister at Tawan Eppinger's prayer line number is area code 602-610-2081. And his access code, the access code for his prayer line, the number is 913-927. Once again, the access code for Minister Tawan Eppinger's prayer line is 913-927. Also, on next Thursday night, Thursday, April the 22nd, my special guest will be Pastor Sharon Ford. She is the pastor of spiritual care of Southfield, Michigan. Again, Pastor Sharon Ford will be my special guest on next Thursday night. You want to mark your calendar. This is a blessed, anointed woman, a powerful woman of God who knows how to deliver God's word. So you want to tune in next Thursday night and be blessed by her as God uses her. I will have a special guest on next Saturday night. Sister Rosalind Shetnall would be my special guest on next Saturday night, the 24th. And then the last Thursday of this month, April the 29th, Pastor Norman King, my first cousin, he is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word over this worldwide platform on the last Thursday of this month. That will be Thursday, April the 29th. I am so excited to announce once again that God has blessed one of my nieces. Her name is Kayla Brown. She has now obtained her realtor's license. She is a part of the Century 21 Realtors family. So if you are looking to purchase your first home in Michigan, if you're looking to purchase your first home or your dream home, let Kayla Brown help make it a reality for you. She can be reached at her cell phone number. It's area code 313-992-5562. Her office phone number is 734-464-6400. And her email address is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, Kayla Brown, .C@gmail.com. So once again, Kayla Brown, if you are looking to purchase your first home or your dream home, let Kayla Brown help make it a reality for you. So those are the announcements for tonight. I pray that you have written down those announcements so you can be abreast, so you can mark your calendars and tune in for the next couple of days as we continue throughout the rest of this month over this worldwide platform, that God will continue to be glorified. So right now we're going to go to our music break, and then following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, Deacon Edward Blakely. And once again, I pray and hope that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along as we go through God's word together on tonight. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be cover today. Oh, cover me. Oh, with thy, with thy breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Sing this. Cover me. Come on, sing that with me. Oh, cover me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Somebody open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Cover me, Lord. Aren't you grateful on tonight? I know I am so glad. I am so grateful that the blood of Jesus still works. And the Lord promised, God himself, he promised us that once we're saved in Jesus' name, we're covered and nothing can pluck us out of his hands. What a mighty God we serve. He is a promise keeper. Before I bring forth Deacon Edward Blakely to deliver God's word, I'm asking all listeners, because the word of God is true. He said that the things that we are seeing and experiencing and hearing about that's going on in the world today, the word of God already told us these things was going to happen. So don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. He did also say, watch as well as pray. So we want to continue to be encouraged. We want to continue to lift each other up in prayer. We want to continue to be watchful as well as prayerful. So I'm asking all listeners if we would continue to pray for our world, that the Lord would touch everyone in the earth, that we could, you know, search our own hearts and we will confess our sins, and that God would be able to hear our prayer, and that he will heal the land, because our land needs to be healed, because we know that the evil one is going around seeking, and he said he was going up and down through the earth seeking whom he may devour. He came to kill, steal, and destroy not only families, but nations, ministries, communities, even countries. So he's doing what he do. But we're not going to give him any credit on tonight. We're just asking all those that are faithful believers in Jesus Christ on tonight that we would stand in on one accord and cry out to the Lord that he will forgive our sins and that he will heal the land, because that's exactly what he promised to do. If we would do our part, God is a faithful God. He's going to do his. So right now, once again, I'm so excited to have, once again, Deacon Edward Blakely, the Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, over this worldwide platform every third Saturday night, delivering God's word. Deacon Edward Blakely, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I'm coming with a message out of the Sunday School, the International Sunday School lesson this week. But I'm going to take it from I'm not going to change anything, but I'm going to look at it from a different sort of perspective. The title of this Sunday school lesson would be The Captive Cup Holder, or The Captive Cup Bearer. We're going to have to kind of look back. I was starting, the lesson started from, started in Nehemiah chapter 2, starting at verse 11. We're going to have to get a little background so we can see because it's sort of starting in the middle. So we have to back up a little bit and get a little background as so we can go right into what Nehemiah is writing about and what he's talking about. Okay? So Jerusalem. Jerusalem is torn down, burnt up, desolate. There's nothing left there. The Israelites oftentimes would anger God because they would be disobedient, and God would allow other nations to come in and take them into captivity. This time it was Babylon. Babylon came into Jerusalem and laid waste to the place, just burned everything down, took all the people captive, and they were captive for 70 years. God, that was God's plan, that they would be in captivity for 70 years. Thus the title, the captive cup holder. But before the 70 years were up, there was a king that came along and defeated Babylon. And he set the captives free. They could go home or they could stay there in Persia. Some went back to Jerusalem. Some stayed in Persia. But Nehemiah himself never lived in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was born in captivity. And how he got to be next so close to the king, but he became the king's cupbearer. The king's cupbearer was one who tasted the king's food or would drink the taste of king's wine to make sure that it wasn't poisonous. You know, it wouldn't harm the king. So that's how Nehemiah found himself in that position close to the king. And if we go back even a little further in chapter 1, Nehemiah's brother did stay in Jerusalem or did go back to Jerusalem when king, let me give you this king's name. He's got a really difficult name here, but I'm gonna kind of syllabalize and get it out. King Artaxerxes. King Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. He defeated Babylon and he allowed the people who had been taken in captivity by the Babylonians to return to Jerusalem. But as I said, Jerusalem was in ruins. The temple where they worshiped, their place of worship was burnt down, torn up. The Babylonians, when they came in, that was like, you know, maybe a king when they conquered a place, when they left it, they would burn it down. That was their trademark, you know, and that would make other kingdoms fear them, you know. So that's where we start, that Jerusalem is in ruins. And this Nehemiah has never lived in Jerusalem, though he's a Jew, but he's in captivity and he's working in the palace with the king. This is his job. So, as I said, Nehemiah's brother did live in, I don't know whether he escaped there or he was set free and went back there. But Nehemiah's brother did come to Persia where Nehemiah was working in the king's palace. And he told Nehemiah about the ruins in Jerusalem, how everything was just laid waste, how it was desolate. This, remember now, Jerusalem is the land of milk and honey. This is where when the Israelites left Egypt and went through the desert 40 days and nights, this was the promised land. And it was when they arrived, it was. And Moses and all the leaders back then warned them, don't be like, so you're going to have people there that are not like you. They worship different gods and all that kind of stuff. And you are not to be like them. But they would always fall into this idol worship. They would always fall into doing what others, you know, what like you say, when they are in Rome, they did as the Romans. Instead of carrying on the will and the traditions and the worship and the things of their God, they started to fall into the hands of other gods. And so here we go. We're in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is desolate. It's torn to pieces. And Nehemiah's brother has come to him and told him about the situation in Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah's heart is very heavy. Nehemiah's heart is heavy. He's burdened by what he's been told, by what he's found out. So he starts to talk with God. And he promised God, tells God, I'm going kind of back to chapter 1. And he says, God, if you will give me the desire to do this, you've placed this desire on my heart to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the wall, and rebuild the temples, and rebuild the worship service, and rebuild. This is God's plan. And he's saying, if you help me, I will do it. If you send me, I will go. If you send me, I will go. But I will do it. Well, you know, a lot of us today, we ask God to give us the desire of our heart. And most of the time, we're asking God to do something that we desire. But he's asking God, is this your desire? Make your desire the desire of my heart, and I will do it, but you will have to help me. And if you want grace and favor from God, do the desire of God's heart. Let the desire or the will of God be the desire of your heart, and God will bring favor. Amen. He will bring grace for you to accomplish whatever that desire that he puts in your heart, he will accomplish. We all know God will not start a work that he will not finish. But amen. God has to trust us. God has to trust us. So we see Nehemiah, he's still working in this position near, close to the king. But no one ever comes before the king with a disposition that will bring the king down. The king, when you came before the king, you had to be happy. You had to be upbeat. You couldn't bring the king down. But Nehemiah was bringing his wine that day. So we start right here. Wherefore, the king, well, no, I'm starting a little too far ahead of myself. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan and the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. This is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is actually writing this. This is Nehemiah speaking. Now, I had not at any time before been sad in the presence of the king. And the king said unto me, and I had never been sad in the presence of the king. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Your countenance is how you look, Why do you have that sad look? Why do you have that down look on your face? The king asked him, asking him, I know you're not sick. Well, seeing thou art not sick, king is observing him and looking at him and saying, you're not sick. Why are you so sad? This
Deacon
is nothing
Blakely,
else but
Deacon
sorrow
Blakely.
Of the heart. Yes.
Excuse me, Deacon Blakely, do me a favor.
Yes.
Go back and give the listeners the scripture where you're coming from. Give them the scripture where you're coming from.
Oh, right now, I'm starting at Nehemiah 2, chapter 2, at verse 1. And then I'm going to read up to 11. Then we're going to go on into the lesson. This is just the background, how we get to where Nehemiah starts off. So I'm going to build up to that. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid, because he was afraid that, because, you know, you didn't come before the king and bring his countenance down. So, but he also saw this as an opportunity, because he had already asked God to help him fulfill the desire, help him to do. He asked God to help him to do God's will. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city and the place of my father's sepulchers lie waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? 4. Then the king said unto him, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to God. I want to really get this real close. So this is Nehemiah saying, when the king asked him, what would you have me do? The king asked Nehemiah, well, what would you have me do? And Nehemiah snuck in a real quick prayer, and he prayed to God of heaven and said unto the king. Then he said unto the king, pleases the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He wanted to rebuild the city. And we can see here that God's favor is starting to come. God's favor, God's hand is on the king. The king wants to know what he can do to help. The king had no concern about Jerusalem. It was probably part of the territory when he conquered, you know, but he didn't have any real care about Jerusalem. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't an Israelite. And I said unto the king, pleases the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build. And 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting beside him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. I gave him the time. I'm going to move on to verse 11. This is where it began. This is where where Nehemiah starts his journey. God has sent him on this journey. God has given him the desire in his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. Remember, keep in mind that Nehemiah has never lived there. That's never been Nehemiah's home. Nehemiah was born in captivity. And this is like 68 years later. So Nehemiah is a sort of an older man. Okay, we're going to start in 11. So this is Nehemiah speaking again. So I came to Jerusalem, and it was 3 days, and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, except the beast that I rode. And when I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dragon port, and to the dung port, and viewed the wall of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates with an S, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. 14. Then I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that I was under, the beast that was under me to pass. He was riding a mule, and he couldn't. It was so much rubbish and debris from the destruction that he couldn't even ride his mule through the city. But he went out at night. He did not tell anybody what God had placed in his heart. Sometimes when God puts something in your heart for you to do, and you want God to favor you and help you through it, it's best not to tell a lot of people, because some people will, maybe even not even intentionally, they will try to change or curb that desire that you have, or alter the mission that God has you on. But he was out surveying the damage. If you notice how Nehemiah is doing, he knows God's hand is on him, but he's still not in a rush to tell everybody. He's not in a rush. He's gotten all this help from the king. The king gave him permission, gave him a letter, and gave him all that he needed to rebuild the city. This is kind of putting you in mind of David and Solomon when they were rebuilding the temple. Everything was provided by God. God's hand was on the king, and the king favored Nehemiah. He favored him. He gave him favor. He gave him letters to go. He gave him part of his military so he could get there safely, because there's enemies everywhere, you know. Especially when you're going to do something good, the enemy always pops up. When you're going to do something for God, the enemy will be there. He's coming. He will pop his head. You'll see a little later. The enemy's head will pop up. Am I 14? Then I went to the gate of the fountain. I'm looking at Jerusalem. It's a wall city. Well, at one time, it was a wall city with gates all around it. It was secure. And the people and the Israelites and the Jewish people, they lived in that wall city, in that secure city. But God allowed Babylon to come in and take them into captivity, and then they destroyed the city. They destroyed the wall. They burned down the gate. And there was no worship. There was no longer any worship there. And when I went out to the gate and the fountains were like water. This is the system. He was looking at the city's infrastructure. We hear that word a lot today. He was looking at the city's infrastructure. There was water. The king had set up water to come into the city. And then on the other end of the city, they had waste water to go out of the city, to take all the waste out of the city, I guess, back into the river or the oceans. And that way, that was sort of like the sanitation department. He was looking at all those things, and he was looking at the wall and the gate, and he was assessing the damage. But he knew that God's hand was on him because God had favored him. I'm seeing Nehemiah's confidence in God grow. I'm seeing his confidence in God. I've seen his boldness. He's getting bolder. Even though he's keeping things, he's strategic about how he's going about it. He doesn't want to let everybody in on it right away until he knows. So he gets clarity from God. He is talking to God all the time. He's not taking steps without God. He's not taking steps without getting clarity from God of what to do next. Remember, I told you earlier that he said he would do the will of God if God helped him. If God helped him with the desire of his heart, he would do God's will. Then I went up in the night, and I went in, and I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not where I went or what I went there for. Had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor the priests, nor the nobles, nor the rulers, nor the rest that did work. Did not tell anybody, no parts what he was doing, why he was going. He left. He got up in the night and left without them knowing. He went out and surveyed the whole city. He assessed the damage. Before he would let them in on it, he wanted to know. He wanted to be sure. He wanted to be clear. He wanted to make sure that he was following God's instructions. And he was knowing, his confidence was building because he knew that God's hand was on it. Have you ever went to do some work for somebody or something and you know it was going to be a hard job, but when you got there, it was so much worse than you thought it was? He looked at the damage and he just knew, this is going to take God to do this. I'm going to have to be a leader. I'm going to have to show up and be a leader. Leaders need to have a vision, but they have to be clear about their vision before they share the vision with whoever's going to be on their team or whoever's going to be working with them. Leaders need a clear vision. Leaders need to take instruction from God. Ask for clarity.
Yes, Lord.
Ask for that. And then before you present it to the head of a church or a leader of a church, before you present that to the congregation, you need a clarity. You need a strong clarity. You need to be so confident that God is doing this that you're bold. And you can answer the questions. You can answer the questions that whatever may come up, or whoever may challenge you that you can answer them. You can answer them that this is God's plan.
Yes, Lord.
So we're going to go a little farther. 17. So he didn't tell the rulers and the priests or anybody. In 17, then I said unto them, this is after he surveyed and he went out and he was sure, even though the desolation was far beyond what he expected. Then I told them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. After he was sure, after his vision was clear to him, then he presented it to them. As he said, let's build the walls. Let's rebuild Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach, that we be no more ashamed, embarrassed, disgraced of the waste that Jerusalem has become. Let's rebuild it. 18. Then I told them of, here's where we see his confidence, and he knows that God's hand is on. My opinion is he always knew God's hand was on him. But you talk about when you start to walk with God, you start to trust God step by step and take God's instructions step by step, your faith starts to grow. It doesn't get bigger. You get bolder in your faith. You become bolder in your faith, and you speak the truth, because you know that everybody who you want to be on your team, they see the same thing you see. They see the walls torn down. They see the city. They see the desolation. They've been living in it, but no one has done anything about it. Ezra came at one time to do something, and then another prophet had came, but they never really completed. Nehemiah is going to do this thing because God is going to do it with him. God is going to come alongside and do it with him. Then he told them of the hand of God, that the hand of God was good on him, that the hand of God is good on me. Wasn't that something to have the hand, not only have the hand of God on you, but to have the hand of God good on you? As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let's. And now they see his vision now, still in 18, verse 18. They see his vision now. They understand that God's hand is on him. How could he have done all this? How could he have an army with him? How could he have all the building material? How could he have even the king's permission to do this unless God's hand is in it? And now he's telling them that God's hand is good on me. As also the king's words that had spoken unto me. And they said, let's raise up and build. Now they're with him because now they see his vision. He's so clear about his vision. So when he talks to them, they see his vision. They see the same thing that he sees. So now they're more willing. If you are a leader and you want people to follow, you have to be clear about your vision so you can get them to see that vision. Not only hear it, but see the vision that God has given you. And then they'll take up that vision. They'll take up that desire, that same desire that you have will spill over onto them. And they will take up and they will see. And they will cheerfully follow. 19. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobias, the servant of the Amorite, and Gishom, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king?" They were saying, "Well, what, you're going to rebel against the king and rebuild this city?" And here's what really grabbed me, that Nehemiah could have told him, "Look, I got papers from the king. I got a letter from the king. I got everything I need. The king is backing me 100%. But that's not what he said. Then he answered. Then Nehemiah answered them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us.
Yes,
therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." He didn't say, I got something from the king. He said, God is hands on this. This is what God is doing. We are God's people, and we are doing the will of God. And when the will of God is, when you are doing the will of God, when you're sure, when you're clear in your mind and in your heart that you are doing the will of God, you don't let people curve you. You don't let challenges, you don't fight the challengers. You explain to the challengers who's getting the glory here. It's not the king. It's the King of Kings. It's God. It's our Lord God. His hand is on this. And when you're doing the work of God and you're really doing it sincerely, God will give favor. God will give, you will have the favor of the king. You will have grace. You will have the grace of God. It will follow you. And God will complete what, God will fulfill the desire of your heart if you have his desire. If, again, I want to say, you know, sometimes we ask God to give us the desire of our heart. But in my way of thinking, well, before I was thinking, God, give me what I want. That's what it meant to me. God, give me what I want. God, I desire this. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, give me. I need, I want. These are the desires of my heart. But it seems like it's turning with me that God, give me the thing that I should desire in my heart. I want you to give me the thing that I should desire. And when you place it in my heart, I will do it, and you will help me. You will help me. If you want favor from God, change that from give me the desire of my heart to give me what to desire, and I will carry it out if you help me. I need help from God. I need God's help with everything, but I want to be sure that this is what God wants. I don't want to step out on something without God. I don't want to go before God. I don't want to step out on something that maybe I thought of and I want to do. I want it to be what God has, what God's desire is for my life. I want it to be what God purposed me for. God, what have you purposed me for? Show me what I should desire in my heart. And then I will go out and do it because I know that you will help me. I know that you will favor me. I know that you will cause people, you will cause people to give unto me to accomplish whatever it is you purpose my life for. I need to know and I need clarity. This is what Nehemiah is doing, and he's growing and he's growing and he's growing. I don't know if he was a great leader before. It doesn't seem like that. He seemed like he was a servant of the king. But as he starts to move in this desire that God gave him, placed in his heart, he starts to become this leader. He starts to become such a leader. People are looking at him that we can follow him. We know God's hand is on him because God's favor. The favor keeps coming. Favor keeps coming. Everything that he touches takes me back to Joseph in Egypt. The king knew God's favor was on Joseph. Because everything Joseph did, it prospered. Sometimes we think in terms of prosperity as money or wealth, but it carries out the will of God. Prosperity is God's fulfillment. Prosperity in this sense is God fulfilling a purpose in you or in that individual. He fulfilled his purpose in Nehemiah. Nehemiah's heart was burdened. And Nehemiah told the people that this is something we will do. He, you know, a lot of times leaders will say, you know, God wants you to do. He's putting himself in this. He says, this is what God wants us to do. I'm with you. I'm with this. I'm going to get my hands in it too. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm the leader and start, you know, giving out assignments. What leaders do, assign things. But I'm not going to sit in my office while I assign everybody things. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be out here with you. God has got his hand on me, and I'm going to be a worker as well. I'm a leader, but I'm going to be a worker. Like as we do in the, we work for the kingdom. We work for the benefit of the kingdom of God, and everyone is a worker. No matter whose hand God is on, you are a worker. You do the work. We all do the work together. But we look at leadership and we see whose hand God is on, and then we should follow that leadership. When that leadership has a clear assignment from God, and you'll see God's favor and God's grace. That's why I entitled this God's Favor and God's Grace. Any time a leader has God's favor and God's grace, you will see it. And that leader is someone who you will say, I will pitch in. I will pitch in. I see the direction. I see what it is God has you doing. I will pitch in. Wherever I can, I will pitch in. God's favor and God's grace. And can you see Nehemiah growing? Can you see Nehemiah growing into that leadership role as he coming from a cupbearer? He was the servant of a king who was actually a taste tester. He was tasting the food to make sure it wasn't poison. It wouldn't harm the king. So if he was tasting it, if it was somebody out to destroy the king or kill the king, then it would have killed him. That's the position he had. That was his job. But God gave him another assignment and moved him up to management, moved him up to leadership. That's the best job you could ever have is working for God, working for God, yes, working Lord. For God's purpose, working for God's purpose. Because God will come alongside you. He will not only equip you, he will call others to give into your bosom or give unto you. He will call others. He will cause others to favor you.
Yes,
and
sir.
He will give you every tool that you need to accomplish his will. And then
Amen.
He will come alongside you and help you. You can't ask for a better boss than that. You can't ask for a better job than that. I've worked, you know, all my life, and I've been in situations with different employers, different bosses, different supervisors. And, you know, they bring you in, show you a job, they do this, boom, boom, boom. You can't make this, you can't do that, we don't need you. But God will not do that. He will give you the job, see to it that you can do it, and then he will also help you do it. God will not let
Amen.
His purpose for you towards his purpose for your life. I said one day last week that I asked Jesus, since he gave his life for me, I asked him to come and live this life for me, live my life, live it for me. If Jesus would live my life for me, I could accomplish what, I can't accomplish what Jesus accomplished because Jesus had his own purpose. So I want him to live my life for me so that I could fulfill God's purpose for my life.
Amen. Deacon Blakely, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're out of time right now. I just want to say thank you for this. This is a great lesson. This is a powerful word for someone of tonight. And we know that God's word never goes out void. It always accomplishes everything that God sets out for it to do. So I just want to say
Amen.
Thank you for delivering this powerful word on tonight. And we know that
Amen.
Someone was blessed by this word, but most of all, we know that God was glorified through his word being shared through you. So on tonight, as we get ready to close out for tonight, as I always say, remember, I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen.
Easy to do.